Say this with me. Father, I thank you for your holy, written, and anointed word. I thank you for the words that the Holy Spirit speaks to me today. I receive the words of life coming by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, I am a receiver from God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. I'm so glad that you're a receiver from the Lord. You receive good things from God. God is a good God and desires to give us good things. God is the God that wants to open us into new, open our eyes up to new realms, to be able to even imagine things that we haven't imagined before. And then he'll do something greater than that. Praise God. Hallelujah. I got this little story kind of coming up in my spirit, so I think I'll share it. I heard this, I think it was Peter Wagner that told this little story about this guy, this older gentleman. He was getting up there a fair bit, but he decided that he wanted to do something great in life. He wanted to experience something he never experienced before. So he went and he bought this real beautiful little sports car. And it was a fast car. And he went out on the road with it. Actually, he went out test driving them. He didn't buy it. He went out and test driving it, and they talked him into trying this one out. And it was a real nice day, and they put the top down and so forth, and he was just cruising it along. And as he had so much power, and the more power he pushed on the accelerator, he just kept going forward, and he just thought, I'm going to really try this thing out. And he just put it right down, and he was just flying along the freeway. And he looked in the mirror, and there were these lights coming behind him. And he said, oh dear, what's going to happen now? And so this state trooper comes up, and he said, going kind of fast, aren't you? And he said, well, he said, I'm going, getting off shift here, my shift in a few minutes, and I don't really want to write out a ticket. But if you can come up with a good enough excuse of why I shouldn't write you out a ticket or why you were going so fast, I won't have to write a ticket out. He said, well, officer, he said, to tell you the truth, he said, what happened was about 30 years ago, my wife ran off with a state trooper. And I was pretty disappointed. And I looked in the mirror, and I seen those lights flashing, and I thought he was coming to bring her back to me. I don't know why, that was just in my spirit this morning. I thought I'd share it a little bit. So he was pushing on the gas a little bit further. I want to share with you a couple of things this morning concerning the church. I want to share with you I hope I can share with you some of the things that are in my spirit concerning the church. One of the reasons why we come, I want you to think about this a little bit. When we come together as a body of believers, we are obeying the exhortation that we have in Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, where we are exhorted to come together even more, come together, assemble together as a body of believers. And the scripture says even more as we see the day approaching. And wonder what the reason for that is. It's to exhort one another for good works and so forth. But there's something else that happens when we come together as believers. When we come together corporately as a body of believers, it seems like the veil between the natural and the supernatural gets a bit thinner, where we can begin to experience things from the supernatural realm that we wouldn't normally experience on our own. And when we get to that place where that veil gets thinner and thinner between the natural and the supernatural, you and I begin to have impartations taking place to us. An impartation that might be able to carry us even through the next days and weeks ahead, especially if we're dealing with particular issues. God will move upon us and speak to us and make deposits in our heart that will help us to grow from where we're at to where he wants to take us into a very successful Christian experience. But in order to do that, we have to extend our faith, because faith is always to be factored into anything that God is doing in our lives. Those who come to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So there must be that application of faith that is activated as we come as a body of believers together. And one of the first things that we must meditate on when it comes to activating our faith to receive from God as a body of believers when we come together is believing that God is going to meet us. God is going to be with us. There's something happens that's special when you and I come together. And the world out there will try to convince us that the church really is irrelevant and doesn't have anything to offer. The spirit of the world will try to convince us that the world is convinced that we have nothing to offer. But that is a lie from hell. That is a lie because the world, even in all its troubles, the people of the world will often recognize that the church does have something that I need and that I want. The spirit of the world will try to convince the world not to act on that, because the spirit of the world wants the people of the world to be convinced that we have nothing to offer. Now, what's really bad is when the church begins to accept the theology of the spirit of the world, what the spirit of the world is putting out. The spirit of the world will try to get into the church. And in this context of looking at whether the church is relevant or not, the spirit of the world will try to get the church to be convinced that the world thinks this way. In other words, they're trying to get you and I to think, well, I can't really witness today because, you know, the world, they're not interested. The world doesn't really think I have anything to offer. And so if we buy into that, you and I will just go totally downhill when it comes to our witnessing and inviting people to come together as a body of believers. But I want you to get that thinking out of you. If you ever think that, oh, well, I don't want to invite somebody to church because, you know, we're having a crazy speaker here in a couple of weeks, or even Graham Fletcher, you know, and he does some weird stuff sometimes and so forth. So maybe they'll be embarrassed. So I dare not invite any of my friends here. That's a lie from hell. You know that? It doesn't really matter whether Graham Fletcher speaks into their life or anything. The Spirit of God will be in their place, and we have to count on the Spirit of God to touch those unbelievers. In fact, when it comes to Graham Fletcher, his ministry and prophetic words often get the attention of unbelievers. Praise the Lord, God Almighty. And I know some of you are saying, well, it's not the special speaker that comes in, Pastor, it's you sometimes we're a little bit afraid of. Well, that's a lie from the devil too. I love you and want to see people come to Christ. But I will guarantee you one thing, if the Holy Spirit leads me to do something, as much as I'm capable within me, I'm going to do it. I've decided that to obey God rather than man. Amen. But the world out there does look at the church as having something to offer. I think what happened to Mike here recently really is a good demonstration of that. I've asked him to share a little bit concerning an experience that he had with the world asking for something from the church. Go ahead, Mike, share a little bit.
Morning. Yeah, Pastor Bill's right. You know, we sometimes think that we offend people when we're outside of this building, and that's something that's a lie. October 1st of this year, I'm an officer in the Auxiliary Coast Guard. We run a search and rescue squadron that's all across Atlantic Canada. We have about 840 members, and we're the guys who go out in the middle of the night and pluck people off of boats and out of water and save their lives. Anyway, we put an exercise on the island this year, on the north side of the island, and it was October 1st. And we have helicopters and fast rescue boats, and we're all dressed up in our uniforms, and we go through the test of somebody actually being in trouble. And then after that, there's about 150 of us go through this exercise. You pick special people out of your unit to go to these things. We have a dinner, and of course, everybody's dressed up in their uniforms, and you get her from all over Atlantic Canada. We have people from the Coast Guard there, the commissioners. Actually, there's two commissioners there, one retiring and one commissioner. And they come and they said, the fellow that's doing the MC, and he comes up and he said, would you say grace, Mike? And like anything else, when you first get hit with that, you go, I think there's a clergyman in our outfit here someplace, isn't there? And, you know, from down Hubbard's Way, Nova Scotia. And he goes, oh, I didn't know that. I said, yeah, he's with Joey Green. So he went and see him. He comes back in about 5 minutes. He goes, no, he's got to go get ready for church. He's got a sermon to preach. He can't do it. So he comes back and he goes, is that a problem? I said, no, I can do it. So you're sitting there trying to gather your thoughts of what you're going to say to this group of people. And it's noisy. I don't know if you've ever been around sailors, but it's noisy. He comes back to me, he turns around, he has a serious look on his face, and he said, our president has just been diagnosed with stomach cancer. And he goes, would you pray a prayer for him when you're up there? And he says to me, he goes, is that a problem? And I said, no. But that's a different shift from saying grace to praying for somebody, right? So I'm there looking at Mary, and I'm going, okay, Lord, I need help here, right? So anyway, I stand up in front of this group, and I say grace, and it was very cordial and nice, and they don't know I'm rolling into this prayer for the president. And now these are people who save people's lives. This is what they do every day, right? All of a sudden, they're dealt with a thing that they can't fix. You know, this is a death sentence that this man has received. So they're shocked when I'm telling them that the president, our president, has stomach cancer. And the first thing you could feel in the room was that death sentence. You could just feel, as soon as I spoke the word, you could feel that. And I said, we're going to pray a prayer of healing, and we're going to pray that the Lord's going to heal him and restore him back to the way he was, to his natural state. And I'm going to pray, and you're going to listen. And I started praying this healing prayer, and the room got flat quiet. I mean, like tomb quiet. It was quiet. And we have a bunch of French guys there, and they are noisy. And they were quiet, and that's quite a thing to get them quiet. And the commissioner, as soon after it was finished, she came up to me and she said, Michael, she goes, we really need that. We need more of that, that type of prayer, that type of boldness that you prayed. And I said, yes, we do. And that encouraged me. And you could see that it changed. They're not used to hearing that thing. So here we are in the world. We have something to offer that we don't think that people want to listen to. First thing you get up, you're trying to say, well, what denomination are these people? You know, are they all Christians? Are they of different faiths? That's not our job to figure that out. Our job is to say the word of God and the gospel as loud and as clear and as strong as we can. And people want that. There was more of the guys come up and thank me for saying that prayer for him, that Frank would be restored. And one guy said, he comes up to me, he put his hand on, he goes, Mike, he said, we hope that works. And I go, hey, I don't pray idle prayers. I don't know if you know me about that, but I said, when I pray, things happen.